Deuteronomy chapter 21, verses 22 and 23. We are looking at various texts in the book of Deuteronomy that are quoted in the New Testament. These are texts that the Holy Spirit picks from the book of Deuteronomy, and we are highlighting them as we look at them and obviously then look at how they are used in the New Testament. And I think there's some great lessons for us as we do this. So, Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23. Let's read them once again. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. Well, that's a bright and shiny text, isn't it? It really is. And that's why we have to look at it, first of all, in the Old Testament, and then examine how the Apostle Paul uses it in the third chapter of Galatians. Sometimes we get the idea that the Old Testament is very dark and dour. The book of Deuteronomy, we think, carries many mysteries. But the book of Deuteronomy is quoted many times in the New Testament. The book of Psalms is the only book that is quoted more frequently in the New Testament than the book of Deuteronomy, which is quite interesting in and of itself. And the great theme of the book of Deuteronomy is found in chapter 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength. The theme of the book is the love of God. And this love is expounded in great detail. How are we to love God? Well, we are to love God by following His dictates, by following His commandments. As Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And one of the commandments that's given in the book of Deuteronomy, in this long section, in the center of the book of Deuteronomy, one of the commandments that's given to us is in chapter 21 and verses 22 and 23. And it seems a little strange. Verse 22 again. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, and then the text goes on. The interesting thing here is that there was an ancient custom that involved hanging the body of an enemy or an executed criminal on a pole or on a tree as an example for all to see. And that's what our text is talking about. The text is not talking about the execution itself, but the text is speaking of the example that comes subsequent to the execution. Or the killing of an enemy. There is an example of this in Joshua, the 8th chapter. So keep your finger there in Deuteronomy and look at Joshua chapter 8 with me. Joshua chapter 8. You will remember that when the people of Israel went into the promised land and God gave them cities within the promised land, the first city that they conquered was Jericho, and the second city they conquered was Ai. And in Joshua chapter 8, we read about that. Verse 24. Now when Israel had finished killing all the inhabitants of Ai, in the field in the wilderness where they pursued them, and all of them were fallen by the edge of the sword until they were destroyed, then all Israel returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. And all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. So Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Israel took only the cattle and the spoil of that city as plunder for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And he hanged the king of Ai on a tree until evening. And at sunset, Joshua gave command, and they took his body down from the tree and threw it at the entrance of the city gate and raised over it a great heap of stones that stands to this day. And you can see the application of Deuteronomy chapter 21 and verses 22 and 23, where Joshua took the ruler of the enemies of Israel, took his body after he had been killed, and put it on a tree. This is what happens to the enemies of God's people, was the message. And then he took it down at sunset and buried that body under a great heap of stones. Back to Deuteronomy 21. This was the ancient custom. And interestingly enough, as verse 23 says, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. In other words, the body of the enemy or the body of the executed criminal will not be on that pole or on that wall all night. But the Word of God is very specific. The body is to be buried the same day. Now you can imagine the people observing the body of this executed criminal during the day, during the heat of the day, and at sunset. And it has been a very common practice in many quarters for there to be not only public executions, but for the bodies of the malefactors to be displayed. I'm sure some of you have seen the Wild West pictures, haven't you, of the bodies of bank robbers displayed? The Dalton brothers and like people displayed? A common practice. Beware, again, is the message. But then the Word of God says that the body is to be buried at the end of the day. And the message there is justice is tempered with mercy. And the example is removed from the sight of the people. Look at verse 23 again. His corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day, for he who is hanged is accursed of God. The sign of the curse of God, the vengeance of God, and we'll look at that more closely in a moment, is that body hanging publicly. And the removal of that body is a token of the removal of the curse of God. The parenthetical expression, if you have a note in your Bible, I do, the parenthetical expression may be translated like this: for he who is hanged is the curse of God. It's not only a picture of the curse of God. He who is hanged is the curse of God. And the curse of God is identified with that one hanging publicly, the body hanging publicly. And so when the body is buried, that's a token of the removal of the curse of God and a putting away of that curse. And so the end of verse 23 says, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. The point being that defilement is removed when the malefactor is punished, the appropriate example is made, and the body then is buried and put away, and the curse removed from the land. And it really is a great picture. It seems kind of dark, but it really is a great picture. We look at verse 21 again. Or verse 22, in chapter 21. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree. The point here being, there is sin worthy of death. Is there not? We have to let that run through our heads and our hearts a little bit. Do you realize that in the Bible, the penalty for kidnapping, for stealing another human being, was death? Do you realize that? And do you realize that not too long ago in this country, the penalty for kidnapping was the death penalty? Kidnapping was, on the books, a capital crime. Now it's hard even to get the death penalty for murder. Because there are many people who believe sincerely, but I think wrongly, that even murder is not worthy of the death penalty. But according to the Bible, there is sin which is worthy of death. And men and women were cut off from this life by the death penalty. And dear friends, everyone understood that there was an eternal significance which was attached to that death penalty. Because if an individual was subject to that death penalty and cut off from his people or her people and did not repent sincerely of that sin, that individual was not only cut off from the visible people of God, but that individual was cut off from the people of God eternally. And that is the significance of the death penalty. It really is. And I really do think this is the case, that one of the reasons we are wont to execute individuals today is that we don't understand the eternal significance of the penalties. And that's a sad thing. And so we need to understand the eternal significance. Please turn with me, if you would, now to Romans chapter 13. And look at what the apostle has to say here. Romans chapter 13. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. Do you want to have no fear of authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For it is a minister of God to you for good. But if you do what is evil, be afraid. For it does not bear the sword for nothing, For it is a minister of God, an avenger, who brings wrath on the one who practices evil. What is the idea here? The idea here, dear friends, is that when the death penalty is properly exacted by duly appointed authority, the civil magistrate is the minister of God to bring vengeance upon the evildoer. That's what Paul is telling us. And the Bible tells us very clearly in this case that the civil magistrate does not wield the sword, the power of life and death in this case, in vain. And there are eternal consequences. Sadly, government officials in these days do not realize their position. Sadly. Well, I want you to go back to Deuteronomy 21 now, once again. And let's read this text. Verses 22 and 23. If a man has committed a sin worthy of death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his corpse shall not hang all night on the tree, but you shall surely bury him on the same day. For he who is hanged is accursed of God, so that you do not defile your land, which the Lord your God gives you as an inheritance. Please turn now, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3. Did you note that the words, for he who is hanged on a tree is accursed of God? But those words in your Bible are in parentheses, a little parenthetical expression. I find that quite interesting. And this little parenthetical expression is quoted by the Apostle Paul with reference to Jesus Christ in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 13. Look at that text. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That law in Deuteronomy applied to Jesus Christ. That parenthetical expression applied to Jesus Christ. Now, the very fact that Paul would take out of the book of Deuteronomy a few incidental words and write them to the churches of Galatia, a few incidental words from the book of Deuteronomy, tells us that it's not the broad scope of the thinking only in the book of Deuteronomy or in the books of the Old Testament that are important, but all the words of the Bible are important. It's not just verses like those in the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, which our Lord Jesus quotes, that are important. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. It's not just verses like that that are important, but it's the incidental phrases that are also of great significance. So when you read the Bible, it's important to pick up the meaning of all the words. And I submit to you, dear friends, that that has something to do with the whole doctrine of inspiration and the whole idea of verbal inspiration in the Bible. That it is the words of God that are important to us. And it is these words which are important that Paul picks out. Look at Galatians 3:14 again. Or verse 13, I'm sorry. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. There is a sin which is worthy of death. There is sin which is worthy of death. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. Is that not the case? And dear friends, each one of us is under the weight of the guilt of sin outside of Jesus Christ. And what does our Lord Jesus do? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He became the curse. And on that cross, He bore in His body the sins of people like you and me. And He bore in His body the wrath of God for sin. He became a curse for us. And the text that Paul uses comes from Deuteronomy. For cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. For the one who hangs on a tree is the curse of God, literally in the Old Testament. And our Lord Jesus bore it all. You remember some of the story? It really is an amazing story. How darkness fell upon the land. And in His agony, Jesus Christ separated from the love and the mercy and the care of God and bearing the brunt of this curse, cried in agony, my God, why have you forsaken me? And in darkness, He died an agonizing death under the curse of God. You know, that is amazing. And why? Look again at Galatians. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Do you realize what the picture of eternal punishment is in the New Testament? Darkness. And how many of us love darkness? I don't see many hands. We don't love darkness. And the punishment which is given, the worst punishment which is given in a prison is that confinement in a dark cell for a period of time, solitary. Darkness. And Christ redeemed us Paul says, from the curse of the law. And then we have verse 14 in Galatians 3. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Why did he do it? Why did he become a curse for us? Not only so that we would be spared the penalty ourselves, but that we would also have the blessing. And what is the opposite of darkness but light? Ineffable, glorious light. And the blessing is to be able to walk in the light. To be able to look forward to the gates of heaven where the greatest light possible will pervade our lives. And there will be unspeakable joy for all eternity. The blessing. You see, and we talk about the curse so that we will be able to adequately understand the blessing. Last night, a pretty good thunderstorm went through this area, and I went out on our front porch just for a little bit and sat on the front porch and watched the lightning and heard the thunder, and then the rain came. I was reminded of the picture in the book of Revelation where we see the throne of God. And in the background, the picture that John paints for us, in the background of that picture, there is thunder and lightning, representative of the judgments of God. And as we've already said, when Christ died on that cross, there was darkness all around. And in accordance with the law of God, he was buried. And the curse was removed. And on the third day, when the sun arose and the light began to gleam over the hills, the Son of Righteousness was alive and well, risen from the grave. And the darkness and the gloom of that curse was turned to the sunshine of God's grace. And Jesus Christ went through that darkness to redeem you and me, people like us, from darkness and bring us into his glorious light. To redeem you and me, people like us, from darkness and bring us into His glorious light. May it be that we, each one of us, understand that work of Christ and trust that work of Christ and are able to bask in His sunshine and see His smile. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Jesus Christ. Thank You for His work. Thank You that as a criminal, His body was hung on a tree. Thank You that that body bearing the curse due to people like us was removed from that tree and was buried. And thank You that that resurrection which followed signaled redemption accomplished, the work completed. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Give us faith. Give us faith to embrace You. Amen.